This is The Topic is Trek, episode 60 for Friday, February 7th, 2020. Coming up in this episode, Picard sets a record or two. You can learn Kirk Fu, and we talk about episodes and comics that are new. All that right now on The Topic is Trek. Synth, our last episode. Welcome to The Topic is Trek, the podcast that runs on impulse power. Join us for a journey where no show has gone before. If it has to do with Star Trek, there's a good chance we'll talk about it. Sooner or later, because on this show, The Topic is Trek. Engage already. Well, hello, everybody. It's Clinton here again for another episode of, what was the name of the show? Oh, yeah, The Topic is Trek.
Star Trek Clinton.
Ah. Star Trek Clinton. That's the weirdest ding I've ever heard. But anyway, before I go any further, let me stop what I'm doing and introduce my other two co-hosts. As always, first of all, we have Mr. Craig Stepp.
Yo, 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 yo.
We're still working on phrases. And yeah, still working on phrases. Mr. Chuck Tomasi.
I brought the synth the hall.
Ooh. I hear it's sensational.
You're making me synth.
Oh, my goodness, goodness gracious. Yes, well, we're going to have some fun with that one I'm seeing on today's show.
This show is seven deadly synths.
Yeah.
Look, you guys have no sense of humor.
All right. I shouldn't have named the episode this. I get it. Anyway, we've got a couple things that might have happened since the last time we did a show. I can't really think of anything in particular, but I'm sure we can think about something to talk about in our main mission. But before we do that, we have to start our subspace chatter. And I know somebody that's really psyched about it.
You don't need all that subspace chatter.
Really, really psyched.
He just won't change his mind.
I'm trying.
He's a little down about it, too.
He does. I mean, man, he's really... Well, we'll see if we can cheer Charlie up with our stories.
We need a new advocate for this show. He's clearly not doing it for us.
Well, maybe this will brighten Charlie's day. In very timely news, the first episode of Star Trek Picard is currently streaming for free on many services. And we've included links in our show notes for two of those services, YouTube and Pluto TV, which is on their sci-fi channel, channel 661. Actually, and you can...
I was going to say, when I looked at my YouTube subscriptions the other day, I was like, what? Is that Picard right there? And sure enough, you hover over it and it had 43 minutes or whatever. And I was like, wow, The whole thing's there.
But this is a supposedly limited time offer, showing, streaming. I don't know what to call it. And we don't know when it's going to end. So if you haven't watched Star Trek Picard yet, well, first of all, you're going to have to bail before the show's over because we're going to be talking about the first two episodes. But if you haven't seen it yet, now is your chance to see the first episode for free.
First one's free. And then,
yeah.
But before you see that, you should really watch the last episode of TNG and.
Don't say it. Oh, he's going to say it.
I won't say that last movie.
Okay. The movie that shall not be named.
And no, we're not talking about Star Trek V. Scimitar and.
Hey, there were some pretty visuals in there if you're
pretty
into that
pictures,
kind of thing. But
pretty pictures. There you go.
There's a plus.
All right. So if that didn't cheer Charlie up, we've got some more news and Craig will tell us about it.
Yes. And if you were watching the Supra, the big game, I'm not going to say the whole thing.
Yeah.
Copyright material there. You may have spotted the Enterprise in a Walmart commercial.
Yes.
I did. It shared screen time with other movie franchises, including The Lego Movie, Toy Story, Looney Tunes, Blade Runner, Men in Black, Flash Gordon, Mars Attacks, Guardians of the Galaxy, and Bill and Ted, excellent, and Arrival, and Star Wars. It is also interesting to note that the Enterprise kicks off the commercial, and R2-D2 and C-3PO are featured in the final cameo. They kind of cross the streams there a little bit, which makes two franchises great bookends for a huge universe of sci-fi entertainment that goes explores that what? That entertainment, that commercial explores. Oh, the commercial explores that entertainment. There is also a follow-up social media videos for many of the franchises. I did not know that. For instance, the Star Trek follow-up video features a Walmart employee being beamed up with a bag of overflowing tribbles. Before I beam down there, Before I beam down, there were three in my bag. Three, he exclaims.
Now he's got breakfast.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I don't know how else you get at these short videos. There was somebody had tweeted out a survey from Walmart about what you'd like to see more of. And I clicked on the one that said the Star Trek scenario. And immediately when a Twitter bot sent me this video from Walmart of that follow-up. So I don't know how many in total there are as follow-ups. I didn't know how to get at any of the other ones, but there are at least four more of them out there for other franchises.
Yeah, I did see the employees standing in the parking lot and they get beamed up, and that was all I saw on the commercial.
Right, that's the actual commercial. So these little follow-ups are just meant strictly for social media things. I don't think you'll see those as actual commercials.
I'm going to check them out then.
Indeed. All right. Charlie's still not smiling. So what else we got here?
Can I do this like a commercial?
Yes, you can.
Oh, good.
No. No.
That's good. Split decision. Do you want to learn to fight like Captain Kirk? Sure, we all do. Then get ready for Star Trek's Kirk Fu Manual. Star Trek's Kirk Fu Manual, being published on March 3rd, it bills itself as a guide to Starfleet's most feared martial art. But please be careful when practicing the drop kick and
the double delay, punch,
the stunning dialogue.
Yeah.
My brain just went to a really fun place of
is that one of the martial arts?
Bad ad-libbed movies with Kirk's stutter is cadence. No honor. It is my family name. I am fighting for.
You can send your letters to no.
Bad. I just want to dub Kirk Japanese fighting movies.
Yeah, I want to master the double fist punch.
Oh,
we already did that. I think we covered that in an early show.
So yeah. That's the kind of like you put your hands together. It's like you're praying, just like bop somebody like that. Yes, that
on
one?
The back.
Yeah,
that's right. It'll bring them to their knees.
I even saw. I mean, you see it every time. I was watching an episode, and even Picard did it.
It's something you learn in Starfleet, clearly.
Yes.
It's the future fighting mode. We haven't invented it yet. That's why it looks ridiculous.
I'm going to remember that next time I'm in the street and I got to protect myself.
Yeah. They'll run away real fast if you do that, believe me.
Beam me up.
Where'd you learn to fight?
Working, Star Trek?
All right, moving along. Assisted by the Grammys and football, Star Trek Picard helps CBS All Access achieve a new record for subscriber signups in January. The premiere of Picard also resulted in a new record for total streams on the service and saw the highest volume of subscribers to ever stream a CBS All Access original series. It was up 115% ahead of the premiere of Star Trek Discovery and up 180% over Discovery in terms of how many subscribers to CBS All Access watched the premiere.
That's a lot.
So more people. So more people watched it.
180%.
Right. That's the figures don't lie. Maybe CBS All does.
Unless you were a Linux user, then you got only commercials.
Oh, that was bad. Well, did they say there was an implementation for Linux or somebody just hacked one? I don't know.
No. I think somebody, I think if you were trying to stream it, I think it had to do with the DRM they were using.
Ah.
So what happened was you got the commercials only, and none of the episode.
CBS goes, hey, we get the revenue one way or the other.
I think they did remedy it, by the way, so it's fixed. But it's kind of a funny thing. Hey, I get to watch it. Oh,
as soon as the commercials are done.
Tied again?
Soon as the commercials are done.
They go, and still no commercials for the writing room. But anyway, that's a pre-show discussion. We'll talk about that later. Yeah. All right. Do we have more Picard news, Chuck?
Yes, we do.
Do we, though? Do we? tricky there. Do we?
Nah, I'm just fooling you. With all this talk about Star Trek Picard, it's easy to forget that there are other Star Trek projects in the works over at CBS All Access. One in particular is close to going before the cameras. The yet-to-be-officially-named Section 31 series, starring Michelle Yeoh as Her Most Imperial Majesty, Mother of the Fatherland, Overlord of Vulcan, Dominus of Kronos, Regina Andor, Emperor Philippa Giorgio Augustus Iapanius Centaurius. Put that on a name plaque on your desk and see how.
Yeah, it's going to wrap around three times.
They appear to be ready to start filming in May.
So very soon. But yeah, we still don't know what it's called. And I'm just kind of guessing it's going to be called Star Trek Section 31. But
hey, we were after right about Star Trek Picard.
Yeah, after all that mysterious, well, we can't tell you the title because it's going to be so telling. Oh, really? Star Trek Picard. That was it, right?
Yeah, it was. What else were they going to call it?
Star Trek Wheel of Fortune? I don't know.
Wheel of Fortune. And Discovery was a stretch, too. You know, let's say we'll name it after the ship. Wow. That's,
we're going to really throw them for a loop. It's not Star Trek Section 31. It's Star Trek 1313 Mockingbird Lane.
Ooh, yeah. Wow. Crossing the streams again. All right. Now, if all this talky picture movie thing is not enough for you, Craig's got something else.
Let's just talk about the pictures.
Okay.
Craig just looks at the pictures.
Yeah, just look at the pictures. Now, speaking of pictures, we're talking about comics here. And finally, over in the world of comics, IDW has put together the first five issues of their Star Trek Year 5 comic in one volume called Odyssey's End. You can find the cover art as well as some of the sample pages of the comic cover in the show notes for episode 60. It's right here. It's a link right here over at thetopicustrek.com.
Ooh, we're missing our ding again.
There ding.
We're dingless.
Bong.
He's ringing. You viewers at home, anyway, you know the drill.
You didn't pay your ding tax.
Yeah. We got a ding bat on the soundboard.
Subscribe to ding.com.
So anyway, there's a link in the show notes. And I think by the time you get this, it's probably another 10 days. Humble Bundle has a package. You can pay for what you want. You can pay for $1 all the way up to $15 or even more. But you can, they have a scale where for each tier, you get all these IDW comics. And they're all Star Trek comics. And I sprung for the $15. There's like probably more comics than I can read, but I'm gonna try my best. But there is a lot of material on there. So if you're interested in the Star Trek comics, go over to Humble Bundle and you can check those out.
And link to that. $15 is all Star Trek material, or is it something else?
It is all Star Trek material.
Okay.
Yeah, and they got we've talked about some of the Mirror Universe issues.
Mm-hmm.
Those are in there. Discovery issues. Star Trek and the Planet of the Apes crossover is in there. I think I want to say the Doctor Who crossover is in here as well.
What about the Transformers one?
Yeah, it is in there, by the way, people.
These are all real things.
Yep. There's a Voyager one title, and then there's City on the Edge of Forever. So I think there's actually, I don't remember if there's actually book. No, it's a comic. They did City on the Edge of Forever. So there's the, like I said, the Mirror Universe stuff, classic TOS. There's a lot of comics in here. So, you know, for $15, hey, you can't go wrong.
Can't. And as Craig said, I believe the way Humble Bundle works, you can pay less, but, you know, support your local artists.
Yeah. So it's good. Like $1, you get, what's that? 5-7 titles. And then $8, you get another eight titles. And then 15, you get like the whole bunch.
So you want to get them all so you can find out how many comics are too many for Craig, because he said he thinks that's too many comics and he can't even read them all. So you'll know if you spend the $15, how many are too many comic books for Mr. Craig Stepp.
Yeah, challenge accepted.
Yes, exactly. Your challenge is to not read them all? I'm not sure I understand. But anyway.
Yeah, you lost me on that one.
Yeah, I don't know.
All right. Well, that was a lot of stories that we talked about there. But you know what? If there wasn't something in those stories we talked about that Charlie will like, well, we have 30 additional stories that we did not have a chance to discuss, but you can look at them if you go over to the show notes for episode 60 over at The Topic is Trek. The ding. Topic thing. There we go.
I
don't know
what you were listening to.
I think the volume's really low.
We're not hearing the ding.
I'll bring it up. Here.
Come on, give me that ding.
And out of those 30 articles, 28 of them have to do with Picard.
Yeah, well, you know, it's kind of a thing right now. What can I tell you? But we do have other things in there. I'm just trying to find any of them. No, we've got like a Star Trek actors who played multiple roles. That's one. And that doesn't include any. Well, I don't think that's maybe a little bit. Maybe there's a little bit of Picard in there. Never mind. Most of them are going to be about Picard. I don't know.
Baby Yoda's in there.
Baby Yoda's in there. Baby Yoda and Data. It's a very creepy image that somebody made up.
Oh, is that a spoiler for Picard? We're going to have a baby Data.
Well, it's a spoiler. If it looks like in that image, it's a spoiler.
I'm not even going to look. I just,
you want to look. Come on. Look.
I'm looking.
Look. Next to the last link. Take a look.
Oh my gosh.
All the listeners to look before I look. See,
oh my God, just I looked
from Craig's reaction. I'm leaving it alone.
Come on. No. Just hover over the link. Come on. You know, you want to.
You'll thank me for it later.
All right.
Maybe when we're at Dragon Con and having way too much fun.
Okay.
We're not having fun.
Craig's gonna walk up to me with a t-shirt with that image on, just so I have to look.
Yes.
Absolutely. And you'll then start having adult beverages. Okay. Let's come back and we're gonna close up our subspace chatter.
With some random sound effect? Is that what you're asking? Some random
sound effect. Oh my, wait a minute, what are we doing to the poor Tribbles? Oh, stop that. Oh my goodness.
Tribbles and Walmart phasers never gets out
of
old. Hand
all of a sudden. I don't,
you know, don't if you like shave that. Them, they're just pure meat.
It tickles.
And now that breakfast is over, we can go on to our main mission. And this time around, we actually have three main missions. Like, one is not enough. We've got three of them. Well, two and a half. Anyway, the way it breaks down is, first, we're going to talk about the final installment of the Star Trek Picard Countdown comic. And then we'll be moving on to talk about Star Trek Picard.
The Spoiler alert.
CBS All Access series. kind of work that in there.
Can't miss a beat.
That's going to keep things rolling. So if you have not read the comic and are looking forward to do it, then stop. Go pick up an episode at your local comic book store or get the Kindle version or any other place you can find it online. Then come back. If you've already read that, but you haven't seen all of Picard, well, then stop. You can watch the first episode on YouTube, and then you got to sign up for CBS All Access and get the second episode. And we know that you can come back again. That's a lot of work. All right. But all that out of the way, let's start our discussion first with the Picard Countdown comic. We have a story that's taking place before. It looks like it's in the middle. It's after Nemesis, but it's before the stuff going on in Picard, and this is meant, it was kind of pitched as something that was going to be filling in some of these gaps.
I was really disappointed in that respect, that it didn't feel, why were they holding out until after the first episode was done? And I think after the second episode, like, here comes some good information that'll fill in some, it's just more of that storyline of how he was trying to save the Romulans, and things kind of got a little complicated. It's sort of an inside story to that, It gives you a little backstory of the two Romulans that are living on the Chateau Picard. So, you know, we got that in episodes one and two, though.
Look, if there was a gap in a dam and it was gushing water and you tried to fill that gap with this, it would still be gushing water.
That's right.
Right.
Well, I think that, I mean, part of the story that I heard as to why they delayed the third book was simply because of production issues, whether it was, you know, the something just wasn't done or something else.
We're not done with the lettering.
Yeah, I don't know if that's, I mean, that came up before. That's not like a retrofit excuse. That is before the comic actually came out. Yeah, if it was meant to be something holding off on some information,
didn't work.
There was nothing that at least that we've seen so far in the series that would have any effect on you knowing this information ahead of time.
It's still a fun series to read. Don't get me wrong.
You know, it's an adventure with Picard on this other ship and so forth. And we get to meet Raffi as a character who we've now got introduced to in Star Trek Picard.
That's true. It did give him a little more backstory of Raffi.
Yeah, I think it just put some chess pieces in place. You know, why are the Romulans there? Well, there's the reason. Why is Raffi associated with Picard?
So,
well,
do you think that they may bring the Governor Legolas back? Sorry, I can't call her anything else.
Not she now. Looks,
well, she's not
Supernova
dead.
Took care of her.
Huh?
The Supernova probably
we
took care of her.
We don't know where she went.
No, we don't. I'm just saying. I don't know.
Yeah, she might get away.
She might show up with a vengeance. The wrath of Legolas. I don't know.
Yeah, no, that's no. It's not going to be that. No,
Shiana.
We talked about this. Shiana.
Yes. my Shiana.
Well, what's interesting is that looking at this in the light of just the information that's given out in Star Trek Picard, it does fill in the gap of who these two Romulans are because they really don't address that at all in Star Trek Picard. It's
they don't.
There are two Romulans and in his house.
Or just two people. You really don't know.
Well, they know stuff about the Tal Shiar and the other super secret group.
At that point, you do. Yeah.
But after reading the comic, I really don't trust Shaban as much anymore. Because he had a little backstabbing thing going on. And they went, oh, I'm sorry. I guess my eyes were opened. I'm all for you, Picard. You know, it was one of these. He kind of turned a little too fast for my taste.
Yes, I agree. I had the same feeling. I was like, I don't know if I would just, hey, why don't you go live at my house?
come watch the grapes. It's almost harvest season. Get out there.
Well, yeah, I thought that was a little quick to turn.
So we have that much in there and we have the idea. Now, one of the things that's in the comic that I was speculating, okay, this is bad news for one of our favorite characters, turns out not to be the case because you have Geordi shown in the comics being at the fleet yards at Mars, and there's 92,000 dead, I think, in the decimated, you know, and there's clearly they're attacking things in orbit as well, and yet on the show, when they're rattling off people that Picard could talk to, Geordi is in there with them. So Geordi survived. You know, I don't know. He had the super secret, panic room or something. I don't know.
That kind of breaks one of our predictions, right?
My prediction was that a character.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I don't know if it was, you know, if that's, you know, it's a guess. Okay. So I don't know, but one of the possibilities could have been Geordi because of what we were reading in the comic and what the trailers at the time were kind of implying what was going to happen at Mars.
The year is still young.
That's true. It is indeed. It is indeed. So any other thoughts about the comic itself?
Is the series over? Because it seems like it wrapped up.
I think it only had three episodes.
Yeah. It was three issues. And that was the last one. So it really was very self-contained in a lot of ways.
I'd like to see more on the on his backstory.
Well, you know, I will say this. It just kind of reinforced how distrusting the Romulans are or can be.
Yes.
Because you know, they totally were like, oh no, you're here just to rescue us, not the indigenous people.
Yeah.
And then, you know, there's a whole distrust still with Starfleet and Picard on top of all that. And so,
which, you know, all that carries over.
Yeah. So they kind of established that. And I think, that's also a piece that, we weren't talking about. So,
right. I mean, it definitely reinforces some of those themes because you have, you know, moving on to, the show, you have, okay, the Romulans don't want anything to do with synthetic life forms. The Romulans, you know, still don't believe that the Federation was attempting to help them.
And they don't have cable.
They waited all day long for Starfleet to show up to install, and they didn't, and they can't get over that. So I think that it's, I don't know if we've dealt that much with the Romulans and their complete distrust of everything. I mean, we've touched upon it in various things, but I don't know if anybody's gone back and said, wait a minute now, there's this one thing that, you know, the Romulans in this episode over here, they clearly have this kind of tech that, you know, that Laris is saying they don't have, they don't trust that kind of thing. Cause she said that they don't trust synthetic life forms, and there's something about their tech. What was it she was saying about their tech?
Well, there was something in episode two when she was using that scanner that doesn't exist. And she says,
oh yeah,
you know, that's what we wanted you to believe.
Well, no, when she was talking about the distress of androids, and she says, well, you know, haven't you ever noticed that there's no, you know, they have no synthetic life forms. And then she also talked AI. About, yeah. And specific other things like they only use such and such.
They focused more on, what was it? Like Boolean computers rather than neural nets or something. It was,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was along that lines. Digital. Computers that do mathematical operations.
They just listen to AM radio. It's a very sad.
You know, FM has a much broader spectrum to listen to.
We very much enjoy your we just started receiving your FDR fireside chats, and we're very much enjoying them. FDR
fireside. Wow. That's a call way back. Anyway.
Okay, boomer.
Okay, greatest generation. All right, let's there we go. Yeah, and so we learn a lot in these first two episodes, I've got to say. I was reading an article that talked about the series Picard learning from some of the missteps of Discovery early on. And one of the things that this article was talking about was this idea that you have major mysteries in Discovery that it takes you almost the entire season to even learn anything about.
Yeah, mm-hmm. they cast a lot of threads, and we mentioned this when Discovery Season 2 was going out. There's at least five different plot lines going on here that can't keep track.
Right, yeah. So we have a lot of plot lines going on in Picard, but we're learning something as we go.
Yeah, it's not. Here's another loose end that we're not
going to... You can't somebody on for so many episodes. Yeah, you got to give them some, pieces of cheese on the way.
We learned before the first hour is even up that Daj is Data's daughter.
Yeah.
Which is really hard to say fast. But anyway.
Actually, you know what? I actually went looking to see if Daj actually meant daughter somehow, like a translator or something.
Uh-huh.
I was just stabbing in the dark, but
Did you check the Romulan dictionary?
Well, no, and I did not.
And did you look for a Soji? And see what that was.
I did, and oh. Neither. No. Unless somebody knows a language I don't.
I think that's highly possible.
Wow.
Well,
how many do you know, Craig?
I know Perl, JavaScript, HTML.
Well, we'll put that question out to the listeners. If you know of those names being translated into something that would have a meaning, you know, I'm assuming both names would have to work for that, not just one.
Right. And that's what I thought too. I was like, I was trying to find, you know, some kind of, like, I don't know, just some translation. I didn't know.
It would have been, fun if he had followed Dr. Sung's nomenclature of, you know, having little hidden meanings in there, like before, Data, and Lore.
Mm.
Yeah, I call this one Denise. I call the other one Denephew.
No. Yeah, this one's called, you know, Yar, and that one's called Yarhar. No, I don't know.
Yar.
Don't even know what that meant.
I don't either.
Yeah, I don't know. And this whole idea, they kind of lost me in this concept of being able to essentially reconstitute Data's essence from one piece of his neural net. I mean, it's a sense, it's just like Jurassic Parking, the thing, right?
Well, or is that the equivalent of an android stem cell? I don't know. It just seemed that one felt like a bit of a stretch, but hey, we don't work at the Daystrom Institute, and probably a good reason why not.
Well, that section is closed down anyway, so, you know.
Yeah, you can work there. They got some openings.
But my very smart and lovely and very smart wife said, is this starting to feel like possibly, with the synth story going on, is it feeling a bit like Blade Runner? Or, she also brought up, BSG, the new one.
Oh,
they have a plan.
The
Cylons
and the humans.
They're indistinguishable from humans. Huh?
Are you saying I should be listening for All Along the Watchtower to be playing in the background someplace?
If you hear it, you're in trouble.
Yeah. I think that, Bruce Maddox is obviously, he was obsessed with Data because we saw that Measure of Man.
And his name gets brought up right away.
They became friends and they collaborated on a few things later, or they kept in touch. I mean, it wasn't this contentious relationship that you're led to believe in Measure of a Man. So it was very interesting to see to see them bring Bruce Maddox back into the storyline.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm more than curious to see if they will bring him back as a character and how that all fits together. So that one's got some curiosity on my
perspective. I think that'd be a misstep if they didn't have him, at least, you know, to kind of when they wrap things up or, you know, settle it. But I think what happened, and you mentioned that they mentioned the show that they stayed in touch after that episode of Measuring Man. And I think that maybe Data worked with him to the point, you know, maybe gave him some direction, and he was working on this, and he disappeared to finish his work because I think he got wrapped up in it and he wants to finish it or see it through or whatever. So that's why he took off.
They don't necessarily need to bring him back. They never brought back Richard Daystrom. He was in one show in TOS, and his name lived on through, you know, a whole bunch of other stuff.
He had a nervous breakdown. I mean,
maybe
he was so brilliant. He just
Data's dead. What?
No. Daystrom had a nervous breakdown. What were they going to do? Bring him back and go, look, he's still having a breakdown.
Hey, they brought back Captain Pike in a chair. Come on. Let's give him the opportunity.
Right. Well,
I foresee Bruce Maddox coming back. I'm just saying.
Here's Richard Daystrom.
Boop. Yeah.
Boop, boop.
No, stop.
Hey, by the way, I am
binary.
Stop that. The Romulans will like it. I don't know.
Anyway, I am with you, though. I think they kind of stretched. It seems like they tried to throw a little techno babble in there to stretch the whole, cloning and reconstituting from one, you know, neuron kind of thing. I was like, okay, I'm going to go with it because everything else is pretty cool.
Sometimes that's what Star Trek does. It's like, okay, that's kind of at the edge of, you know, believability.
Try reversing the polarity. That'll fix anything.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yes, right. Hey, by the way, a couple of things I did notice, and I went and investigated myself to find out that Dodge's boyfriend is the same race as Poe from Discovery.
Yes.
Yes, I think we found that out somewhere else. I forgot if Did it was we? On a YouTube Easter egg video or where I saw that. Oh. Yeah.
I actually went and found it on Memory Alpha. Yep. And I mentioned this to you guys too, but I thought it was really cool. Speaking of the comic, seeing Laris and Zahan, anyway, leaping from the comic we just read, all of a sudden there's a couple of real characters. Whereas, you know, Marvel, we had to wait 30, 40 years to see some of those characters in real life. Here they were within like a week's time. It was kind of neat to see them in their context.
Ripped from the headlines of Star Trek Picard Countdown.
Yeah.
Right into Star Trek Picard.
And there was Rafi within a couple of episodes. It's like, it's amazing. Somebody might have planned this.
I don't know. Well, see, then back to BESG and they have a plan. But it was also interesting that I was trying to come up with theories about why did the two Romulans have different accents. I'm guessing it's because of maybe covert operations they had originally been trained for, because they don't speak the same dialect.
Well, and there's different accents on Earth.
Yes, but languages. I mean, her accent is clearly a British accent.
I don't know. I don't have an accent.
You're talking about the one who was at Starfleet?
No. The one that's in the house.
Oh, right. Laris.
Yeah.
Hey, Chuck, I don't have an accent.
Not at all.
You're the one with the accent.
Right. Yes. That's what I said. We have different languages and different accents.
Absolutely. I still don't know what Daj and Soji means, though. So it's clear that's not helping me any. And then we get to see that there are spies in Starfleet.
Mm-hmm. That shouldn't surprise us.
No, I guess it would surprise if there weren't spies within Starfleet. But now I was confused. Is Commander O, is she supposed to be identified as a Vulcan and she's a Romulan? Or do you get the impression that they know that she's a Romulan works?
And gave her a pretty high position at Starfleet. Yeah, that doesn't quite make sense either.
I think she's posing as a Vulcan.
Okay.
I mean, I'm just taking a guess there, because why would she be so loyal?
You gotta go for a medical exam at some point. It's gonna turn up.
It could. Well, they're so closely related to Vulcans. I don't know.
I mean, they have the same, or I don't know how different their DNA is.
Well, I'm really losing faith in Starfleet's screening process. If we've got one impersonating a Vulcan, one impersonating a human, and they're both walking around free and clear, and everything's cool and happy, and major...
Did they learn nothing from Ash Tyler? Did they learn nothing?
Not yet. Well, yeah, maybe. Yeah, that would have been before. Never mind. That would have been before Picard.
Yes, exactly. They should have that, the Tyler procedures in place, Tyler immediately.
Protocol, Tyler, Tyler policy. Somebody name something.
Yeah. I did think that was a little, but that was unclear as to, I'm assuming that they think she's Vulcan, but
if they found her out, would her security be revoked?
Oh, dear me. Did you miss us, folks? Well, we were gone.
Hashtag dad humor right here.
Chuck, that doesn't make any sense.
You'll get it in about a week, Greg. Don't worry.
Okay.
And we also saw some new tech on the show. We have, you can just automatically kind of just like walk out of a self-service transporter and find yourself at Starfleet.
I thought those were kind of neat. You just be walking and just walk through it and you're in.
Yeah, but you don't stop right in front of the thing. Because keep walking, man. There's people right behind you trying to get through.
What if you were I did think about the same thing. What if you're just walking through it and somebody's walking through it on the other side and just bumps into you?
No, they have a direction. It's like the in and out in the kitchen.
Okay.
So are they like in and out burger? Neat. I have no idea what they say.
Well,
one goes directly to there.
Well, I noticed, I was like, okay, so they've advanced the transporters because they're a lot faster. You can just walk through it and you're at the next place. So, before you had to kind of stand still.
Right, which means, in theory, unless it's like, oh, well, that's the latest Starfleet stuff and we don't have it, that if you see a transporter on this show in subsequent episodes, that it should be no problem, just like, boom, and you're done. Because we've seen that's the way it's working here at Starfleet headquarters.
Yeah, but I don't know, the military always gets the cool stuff first.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. I mean, they've got, now they've got the holograms, you know, in the ceiling of Starfleet Command.
That was a nice touch, showing the couple of Enterprises on the ceiling.
Right. Kept waiting for it to cycle to another one. We saw two. It's like, show more.
It must be like only changes on the hour and you happen to walk in at the right time.
Look, it's the Reliant.
It's about to come down. who programmed that one in? No, that's bad news.
Speaking of technology, I see they repurposed the San Francisco Bridge.
Yes, solar panels all over, because nobody needs to drive on it in the future.
That's right.
Maybe they got a nice bike path under it. I don't know.
Well, when it was in Star Trek the Motion Picture, it was covered. I seem to remember that the it was like it was a tunnel on top of the bridge or something like that. It definitely was not the same looking platform. But yeah, it's changed again.
They were still installing the solar panels. That's why it was covered.
Oh, I see.
Hey, wait a minute. You were at the buildings that they used.
That's right.
In Star Trek Picard. Yes. Tell us about that a little bit.
I was. Well, I was very familiar with those two buildings. The building that Picard goes to, that's the archive. And then you see it's like apparently right next to the other building. So why didn't you just go to both at the same time? But the building is kind of like a half dome shape on the outside. And the Starfleet headquarters, which is the big green glass building. Those are buildings that are part of the Anaheim Convention Center, literally across the street from Disneyland. So the last time I was out there, which is right after the day after I had seen the premiere of Star Trek Picard, I took a picture of myself in front of both of them and go, look, I'm at Starfleet.
Yeah. What? You know, they're not up in the Bay Area?
No. Sorry, illusion shattered. Sorry.
Like the Cetacean Institute?
Yeah. It's not really.
And guess what? Daystrom wasn't in Japan.
What? Oh man. I'm extremely disappointed in all this stuff. And speaking of which, we now have a new person who's apparently going to be part of this crew, the person from the Daystrom Institute, who I guess is going to tag along because she's got nothing else to do anymore since they closed down her division.
Yeah, but they closed it down a while ago. What's she been doing the last few months?
Keeping it clean in there? I don't know. She said there was like something still going on in there, and I can't imagine even what that thing was. If it's banned, it's like shredding. I don't know, what do we do here anymore? Give tours of the place going, this is where all the synths that destroyed Mars came from. Yay.
One day it'll be a museum.
Tourists walking through taking pictures. Oh, looky there.
Yes, and we can look up in the night sky and see Mars is still burning, apparently.
That's why it's the red planet.
Hey, oh, I see what you did there. And yet Geordi survived that. It's amazing.
You know Geordi. He can.
I do.
He can do it.
Yes, he did. Well, otherwise Picard would say, well, no, not Geordi. Geordi can't help me.
Hey, too soon.
I was thinking about calling Will Riker. No. What about Geordi? Whoa.
Dude.
That's hitting below the belt.
Dude.
Alien dude, come on. And then we have Picard being the brunt of another one of the classic, now let's drop F-bombs with the head of Starfleet there. And I felt like I was talking with my wife Bonnie about that after the episode, saying if Tilly had not already forged that path, that probably would have had a little bit more impact than it did.
Yeah.
But now that gate was already open. And so while it had impact, it was like not quite as much, because you go, oh, again with this.
Why did they have to do that? I mean, I'm not a stickler for language per se in a show, but it's like, why?
It changes the landscape of what Star Trek has been, but yeah, I'm neither one way or the other.
Yeah, I think that it's got to be used judiciously to be effective, which is, yes, you know, which is the
seems to be
the
what
issue
they're doing at this point.
Yeah, I think Laris kind of skirts around using the word earlier in the.
She kind of, I thought she kind of, I even went back, like, the, did the 10-second rewind.
Yeah.
I was like, what? And I did it again. You could barely, yeah, you're right. She kind of skirted it. I was like, uh-huh.
She doesn't understand.
Well, let us slide.
She's Romulan, still working on her English.
That's right.
Like, it's like that whole codger thing. What's a codger? Oh, somewhere between a coot and a geezer.
Yeah. I thought she did throw out the, probably some, you know, Romulan F word or something, you know. But now I couldn't tell.
They could have been, and we won't know.
Well, I don't care that much, but.
So do we have any, now that we've seen a couple of episodes, do we have any additional thoughts as to whether or not at some point we will see, I guess, all grown up at this point, the two girls from Children of Mars?
Well, we should. They're 14 years older at this point.
Right.
And they were already, what, around 12 to 13, 14?
I'm still guessing they're going to bring them back.
And then we have the whole issue with, well, this couldn't possibly go wrong. We find out that, you know, the Romulans have a Borg cube. Oh, that's nice. And at first, I was very confused. The first episode really didn't make clear what was going on. I think it was on purpose. We just pull back and see the reveal of the Borg cube. And then right, we find out that it's a disconnected, damaged Borg cube that the Romulans own and let other people do research on.
And they're taking apart what's left of the inhabitants?
Yeah. Who are they dead or are they not dead? Because I believe that the ones on the tables are dead, but
yeah, there are some that are still working because they show clearly these people with scars all over their heads working at a station.
Right.
Well, Soji was talking to him.
Right. But I mean, she could be saying the same thing to somebody who was dead, saying now you're free.
That was more of a last rites kind of thing. That's how I picked that up. But the ones that were working at the station, they look more like they were just walking zombies doing menial work.
Right. They don't feel like they've been 7 of 9 restored, just kind of like, well, we're going to take some of the tech off that we can sell it. And, you know, you go do some stuff.
So we know, that Hugh is coming back. I wonder if he's in there somewhere.
He is. Did you not see the preview for next week?
Well, I mean, yeah, the thing that I'm wondering is in that connection, I think they refer to it as the gray zone. It's like, there's a section you're not allowed to go to.
Dad's
on
library.
The Borg ship. And it's like, I wonder what's happening in the section you're not allowed to go to that they say is all full of radiation or something or other. So I think that's where the action is. And we're going to probably find out that's where the mischief is taking place and, or, you know, what the Romulans might really be up to with that Borg cube.
It's Hugh's party club.
The night crew.
I can only do EDM. I'm electronic myself.
They're all dancing the robot. Crew? What's up with that?
Was it the night crew on the Enterprise? Yeah. You know,
that's right.
Robot chicken.
Right, so we have a Borg cube, but we haven't seen the two Borg yet that we know are on the show.
In the preview, there was Hugh.
Right.
And he comes up to Soji and says, that was beautiful, the way she's welcoming them, you know, ushering them back to life or back to themselves.
Right.
Was it a preview or was it the very end of the show?
No, I believe that was a preview for next week.
Oh, I know what it was.
That was a very special from the ready room, right?
Yes, yeah. Yes, that was the end of the ready room. He comes out, so we'll see him in the next episode. And he comes out and speaks to her and says, "That was really beautiful that you, in the way you speak to him."
And it's not really. I mean, Hugh is probably not the standard to go by as far as what might have happened to the Borg, because pretty much of any Borg out there, including 7 of 9, he's the one that's probably the most human, right? Because, I mean, he kind of lived among humans for a while and got, you know,
he had individuality as a boy.
Yeah. So I think that the state that he's in is not necessarily representative of the state that any other Borg are in, whether they're on that ship or otherwise.
Yeah, you don't come back. Well, even 7 and 9 was, wasn't she trying to go back to the collective early on? Yeah.
Yep. Definitely was. She, you know, built that whole, you know, station for herself, and people got a little concerned about that on board the Voyager, going, maybe you don't want to be doing that really right now. That's not a good idea. Which also brings up the question about just the overall state of the Borg, because we have the last thing that we heard about the Borg, correct me if I'm wrong, is really all we knew was that Janeway managed to destroy the conduits that they were using to get to the Alpha Quadrant, right? It wasn't really a whole-scale destruction of the Borg. It was just not going to be possible for them to use that system to get to us.
Well, the Borg Queen was killed in First Contact.
And then she was killed again in Voyager. So it takes a long time to die. But I don't know, is she the Borg Queen of all the Borg? Is she the Borg Queen of a sector? Is she the, you know, I don't feel like we don't necessarily know enough about that, because even on the show, I think it's Narek, the Romulan bad boy on the show, is describing how that cube is just disconnected from the collective. Mm-hmm. Like the collective still exists, and this one is just disconnected from it.
Like an old abandoned warehouse.
Yeah. So what is the state of the Borg nation these days, if you will?
I wish their president would give us a State of the Union address one of these nights.
No, because I don't want any Borg, you know, showing up and doing anything for me. I'm good without that. But I'd like to know a little bit, but nothing up close and personal, if you don't mind. That's fine. All right. Any other thoughts on these first two? And this is only the first two episodes, but of course they're trying to cram a lot in because we've got a grand total of 10 episodes.
Cram-a-lot? Did someone say Cram-a-lot?
Cram-a-lot. Hey, I didn't really recognize it at first until I did see an article mentioning it, but they had the Picard's reflection with the clock and the fire. Time is the fire in which we burn. I thought that was a nice little callback once I was pointed out to me. And, the CNC's name was Clancy. Her name was Clancy. So was that ensign or whatever that was on Enterprise for a while. You know, was working with Geordi, and she was on the bridge some. Her name was Clancy.
On the Enterprise, not Enterprise. Okay.
TNG. Yeah, okay. She was on TNG, and I was like, that can't be the same lady. I don't know that it is. I don't think it is. It's not the same actress, I mean, but I didn't know if they were trying to tie the characters together.
And I forgot we saw Trill, the woman who's going
video production for the news story. Yeah.
Well, no, she was going. She was standing next to Soji when they were waiting to go into the section of the Borg cube, and Narek comes up and the reason I'm not saying her name is because it's like a mile long name, and I can't. You know, he rattled it off, you know, very nicely, and I don't have any clue as to how to do that. But I went back and checked, and she did have the markings down the side of her face. Yeah,
during the interview on the first episode.
Okay.
Just real quick, part of the video production crew. I think she was the one doing the skin color tone light check,
which was interesting because someone pointed out that the bar across the bottom was skin tones, and it had, of course, normal human skin tones. Then you had a blue one,
pink
for the Andorians, and it was like all these other colors that were in there as well that you could choose from. So we've seen a couple of Trill now at this point, and the one who was going in with Soji, I've got a feeling we're going to be seeing her again and what part she plays. and who her host is. No, that she's the, is she the host? Which part is she? She would be the,
she's the host, not the symbiote.
She's the host. Okay. Right. So, you know, who is the other creature? I doubt it's, you know, the same one from Deep Space Nine, but still.
Dax lives.
Yes, exactly. But I don't know if that's going to be the case.
If somebody calls her old man, hey, then we're good.
Yeah, right. But that somebody would be Sisko, old and that would man. A whole nother kettle of fish going on there if that happens.
Oh, by the way, you know the robot or the plastic people?
The synths.
The blue man group is, that's really
the
white.
Blue.
Yes.
The gold man group.
Yeah.
The one that had F8 on his forehead, you know,
yes.
Like fate.
Yes. You pointed that out. Yes. Fate. Very good.
Mm.
I was thinking more of the fighter jet, but okay.
Well, I was thinking that, you know, I asked Craig, I said, you know, does the F8 key on a keyboard mean anything special? And went, no,
don't press that one. That's the one that destroys Mars.
Oh, sorry. Too late.
It's the one that wipes your computer.
and just outside the door was GR8.
Ah, well, that's just great, isn't it? Yeah. Okay. Okay. I think we better close up the main mission at this point. So press a couple of things and have some noise.
We're out of here.
That takes much longer than it does on Picard. I don't know what's up with that.
We need that. We need the sound effect of that little walkthrough.
Yeah. All right, and now to our Warp Speed Roundtable, which, surprisingly enough, has to do with Star Trek Picard.
No.
Because why wouldn't it? Don't worry, we only got like... my goodness, what the heck is going on there? Yeah. So last time around, we asked, what alien race, major or minor, would you like to see most return on Star Trek Picard? But this time around, I'm going to pose the question, and I did pose this over on our Facebook page as well, so we've got a couple of answers there. Do you think the Romulans Borg cube will come back to life?
Good question.
So I am going to pose the question first to Craig.
No.
Okay. Any reason in particular you think no?
I just think that, I don't know if it's going to come back to life or, you know, but I have a feeling that it obviously has something to do, has something to do with the story. That stupid comment.
No, it's just, it's there. It has nothing to do with
the story. That's part of the commercials. It's just like it weaves in so seamlessly.
Yeah. No, but I have a feeling there's a deeper meaning for why it's there. And it has to do with, you know, Data somehow and the, you know, kind of making everything full circle. I don't know that it's actually going to come to life and be a threat itself. Of course, episode 4 will come on and that'll be exactly what happens.
All right. Well, let me pose the question to Chuck.
I'm going to say no also. It feels more like a backdrop. I'm not sensing any sinister emotions from the Borg cube at this time, Captain.
Well, thank you, Troy. I had no idea.
Stupid Megazoid.
Had those powers. Yeah. I am going to be contrarian. I'm going to say yes. It will somehow
trigger
attempt to connect, you know, I don't know if they hear a modem or something, but it will somehow attempt to hear ding, 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 then get out immediately.
We hooked it up to the M5, but nothing happened.
Oh, poor Daystrom. He is. All right. Well, let's find out what some. And you're invited to answer this question as well, listener. Let's find out what a couple of people said. We had two people respond. So, well, actually one person said, oh my goodness, there's a Borg cube on Picard. They hadn't seen the show yet.
Oops.
But that's in the trailers, so I didn't feel like that was a spoiler. But both Bill says, yes, that will happen. And Ken says, of course it will. So those are two people on my side who say that, you know, I just had this feeling like we're being told so much that it's not a problem that suddenly it will be a problem.
I think there may be a problem, but I don't think it's going to come to life. I think, you know, whatever that radiation section is, is going to be the danger, but it's not going to be, you know, hey, look, all these half taken apart Borg suddenly stuck themselves in their rejuvenation stations and came back to life and got, and, you know, kickstarted the thing back to life.
Bang! No, they did a GoFundMe actually instead, so they didn't do Kickstarter this time. But yeah,
they kickstarted the Borg cube. Please send us a, if you donate now, you can get a free ride to the Delta Quadrant.
For a donation of $10, you can get one of these cute laser eyes. They're awesome.
And for a strip of gold pressed latinum, you get a tribble.
Yeah.
Yay.
And then you get 10.
It tickles.
Oh. Yeah. Put that down. All right. So we want to hear what you, listener, think about this question. So go over to our Facebook page, facebook.com/thetopicistrek, and answer our question. Do you think that the Romulans Borg cube will come back to life? We're going to find out pretty soon, I'm sure, one way or the other.
Don't just give us a yes or no. Come on, put some context in it.
That's right. That's right. Multiple syllables to the whole thing.
It's like the math test. Show your work.
All right. But with that, it's time to refill the dilithium chamber and get out of here.
Is it really?
So you can find me, Clinton, at Comedy Forecast, all one word with the number 4.com. You can also find me on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and MeWe and the light bulb of your choice, also with Comedy Forecast, all one word with the number 4.
Wait, the light bulb of your choice?
Yes, exactly. It could be a Hue light bulb. See, it's a tie-in with the Borg thing. It's a
okay. My light bulbs like to think for themselves. Stupid things.
And who speaks for you, gentlemen?
I'll speak for us. You follow, you know, it. When you're walking along and you see those little arrows in chalk on the sidewalk, you can follow those to Technorama Podcast.
I did not know that.
Yes. They all lead to our website. It's amazing.
Wow. I planned that way.
That's our version of SEO.
Yeah.
All right. Well, it's time to hit the theme, boys. If you like the show, please be sure to tell a friend about it and subscribe so you never miss an episode. We'd love to hear from you. Follow us on Twitter at The Topic is Trek. Visit our Facebook page or visit thetopicistrek.com. Until next time, on behalf of Chuck, Craig, and myself, I'm Clinton, thanking you for listening. And as we always say here on The Topic is Trek, don't put on your shirt. The red shirt.
Don't put on the red shirt. We're going to conga out of here. Don't put on the red shirt.
This isn't Hamilton. What is going on? I'm on the bridge where it happened.